Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, stories of kittens and that children's time story, that's going to be a tough act to follow, so we'll see how it goes. But like Aaron said, I'm Darren Bontrager. I've been attending Assembly Mennonite Church for almost 2 years now. I am the Region 2 Operations Coordinator for Mennonite Disaster Service, and that area essentially represents the Mississippi River to the Appalachian Mountains, Canada down to the Gulf. And so my role is to be a resource for the volunteers within that geographic area, help coordinate disaster response efforts, and develop relationships with our volunteer base. I was asked to share this morning about MDS as it relates to our summer theme of small acts of kindness with Mark 12:42 as a reference point. Some preachers will dive into the hermeneutics of the Mark passage, discuss the cultural context, or even attempt biblical exegesis. In fact, if I were even to take the Mark 12:38 through 40 a little bit out of context, it warns against teachers of the law that make a show of lengthy prayers and that these men will be punished most severely. So in that light, I will try and keep it short and sweet and to the point. However, what I will do is share some stories. I've always loved stories in all forms, whether it was reading Redwall, The Jack Tales, or Harry Potter in my early years, or later on in life enjoying travel or adventure stories like Into Thin Air, A Walk in the Woods, or Endurance. I've enjoyed attending story slams in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where community members would share a story from their past in 5 minutes or less. With no props on a vague topic. It could be heart-wrenching, it could be hilarious, or even quite somber. Stories bring us into a journey through the imagination. Some characters we can really identify with, and others we do not like, and some characters challenge our worldviews and when we come back to reality. I believe that Jesus knew the power of story when he shared the parables and how it can encourage us to see the world differently, develop empathy, spur discussion, laughter, and inspiration. When I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, in the Service Adventure House in 2008, there was a saying that hung above one of the doorways: never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. During most of that year, I never gave that quote too much thought. I probably honestly didn't think about it too much more until I started working for Mennonite Disaster Service. However, the parallels between that quote and the origins of Mennonite Disaster Service are quite uncanny. MDS started in 1950 during a Sunday school class picnic in central Kansas that focused on how to provide mutual aid efforts by expressing the common desire to seek opportunities to be engaged in peaceful, helpful activity just where we find ourselves. Many of the people in those early Sunday school class discussions were either conscientious objectors or had served in civilian public service, or CPS, during World War II. Some of the first MDS responses were flooding events around Wichita, Kansas. Soon word got out, and by 1966, the Red Cross more or less expected MDS to be present whenever a natural disaster occurred. I guess when you get a bunch of highly motivated Mennonites together and give them some food, some pretty amazing things can happen. However, since 1950, MDS has grown and evolved quite a bit. Throughout these changes, MDS has maintained its grassroots history of being locally led and organized. Many churches and individuals that I interact with ask me after a natural disaster happens, is MDS going to respond? I frequently turn the question around and ask them if they are willing to serve. Some people jump at the opportunity, and others believe that they don't have the time, the skills, or the energy to serve with MDS. John Diller, who was paralyzed by a farming accident in the 1950s, was one of the first coordinators of MDS. He answered phone calls, recruited volunteers, and built relationships with other nonprofit agencies and local government officials. And he also had an incredible gift for writing, in which he preserved the many stories of early MDS. He served in various organizing roles for over 20 years. He might have said that it wasn't much, and it was just a small way that he could help, but that it made all the difference. If we fast forward a couple of years, MDS expanded our response capabilities from not only running chainsaws or mucking out flooded homes to repairs and new home construction. Frequently after MDS does a major repair or builds a new home, we have a home dedication. This is a time where we celebrate the homeowner, let them share their story, give a short blessing for the home, celebrate all the volunteers and community partners that made this goal a reality. This is also when we officially give the keys over to the homeowner and sign off on the official job card. This is often a very meaningful experience for everyone who attends. Sometimes the homeowner has been waiting for 4 to 6 years to return to their home. Their journeys are often full of despair, hopelessness, and trauma as they navigate the loss, bureaucracy, and insecurity of their housing. As many of you may know, walking into an empty house, even if it is new, feels a little bit sterile and maybe even unwelcoming. Some of our volunteers wanted to change that, and so Rebecca Summers from right here in Goshen organized quilters from her church to make small wall hanging for MDS, for homeowners who received an MDS home. That movement has quickly grown, and now we can joyfully share a wall hanging with every homeowner during a home dedication. Rebecca and the other quilters might have said that the quilts didn't really take that long, but it made all the difference to Miss Lily after her home was flooded in 1997 in Kentucky. In 2011, I was serving in Kingcum Inlet, British Columbia, as a crew leader during my second internship with MDS as part of the Heston College Disaster Management Program. The village was quite remote, and we would frequently see grizzly and black bear tracks throughout the community. This community of 80 people were flooded when a 15-foot wall of water washed through the community after an ice dam broke upriver. We had youth groups coming in for a week at a time to help repair drywall, flooring, windows, and trim. I don't know how many of you have done drywall in the past, but after 10 to 15 minutes, mudding and sanding drywall can quickly lose its appeal. So this group of 10 started to sing beautiful four-part harmony hymns while we sanded to make the time pass a little bit quicker. One of the homeowners quickly walked by and heard us singing. His wife had terminal cancer, so in addition to the flood recovery, he was pretty down emotionally. He approached our project director and asked if we could come to his house at the end of the day and sing for his wife. Later in the day, after we had all cleaned up, headed over to their house and crowded 25 people into their small living room and sang Come Now Fount, How Great Thou Art, and a few others. We weren't building houses that evening, and it didn't really take that long to sing those songs, but it was a really humbling experience to witness love being shared through song. I can't say that I've personally experienced God's presence, but I have to imagine that it would be pretty close to what happened that evening. I could also share the story of Steve Campbell, who is one of our volunteer drivers for MDS. He retired early and was looking for something to do. So he called MDS and offered his driving ability, since he didn't know how to build a house, but he knew vehicles backwards and forwards. If we fast forward to today, he's been driving consistently for MDS for the last 10 to 15 years and has built special relationships with the Amish in Lancaster County, and has taken the role of coordinating volunteer drivers from all over the U.S. to move vehicles to and from project locations. One time, he and two other drivers took 3 vehicles from Lancaster to Eastern Ohio, picked up 4 drivers there, continued on to Goshen, picked up 2 more drivers, and then they all went to Pine Ridge Reservation out in South Dakota to close up our project where we had been rebuilding and repairing homes since the fall of 2016. They took some pickups, tool trailers, shower trailers, bunk trailers to our warehouse in Columbus, Mississippi, and then it had to get the people back to Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. I asked him why he does it, and he responded, "It's the people. I've never been around so many people that care so much and want to do so much good work with the highest integrity. I may not know how to swing a hammer, but it's a tangible way that I can clearly support the mission of MDS." If we circle back to the Mark text, it seems like there seems to be an emphasis on the virtues of giving, not just to what you can, but going all in, not knowing what the consequences might be. On a personal confession, more often than not, I can relate to the story of Zacchaeus and the tax collector, or maybe even the Israelites who gathered excess manna during the Exodus only to have it go bad. They didn't trust God to provide, and it took a meal with Jesus for Zacchaeus to learn the joy of giving. I don't know if I'll be eating lunch with Jesus anytime soon, so I'm going to continue to look for ways to give of my time, energy, and resources. As I wrestle with a lot of theological questions, I'm grateful for the opportunity that Assembly provides to wrestle with these questions of doubt and biblical interpretation. However, throughout my studies and various vocations, service has always been a consistent model for living out my faith in a tangible way. In conclusion, MDS started out as just a small Sunday school class discussion around service. However, in 2019, we had 5,569 volunteers, build 68 new homes, complete 313 repairs, and cleaned up 352 properties and built 5 bridges. This year, in a COVID-19 environment, we are testing out a pilot program where we build an entire house for Miss Billy Paxton and 2 halves in Ohio, and it'll have the cabinets in it, the flooring, drywall, paint, the whole 9 yards. And then we're going to ship it to West Virginia and then do the final assembly there. And that way the volunteers don't have to travel for a week at a time to the community that was flooded in 2016. When the flood happened, Billy was in the process of evacuating when she remembered her cat and her bunny. When she retrieved the bunny, the water was already at her knees. Fortunately, she made the wise decision to end the search early, even though she didn't find the cat, because at that point, the water was already up to her waist. I have photos of this same house with the water all the way up to the eaves of the house. Since then, she's been either living with her brother or in an apartment for the last 4 years and is very anxious to get back home. The Methodist Church service organization called UNCOR just committed $50,000 of donations to fund the building materials. And with the money Billy received from FEMA, that should be enough to cover all the material costs, and MDS will provide the labor. We staked out the house, the property, this Friday, just a couple days ago, and we anticipate the house will be completed by September. An MDS volunteer can be a driver, a quilter, a phone caller, a bookkeeper, a listener, and of course, construction skills are always welcomed as well. We do anticipate opening at around 70% capacity, if we can do that safely, in Marianna, Florida, Texas, California, West Virginia, North and South Carolina, Dayton, Ohio, from the Memorial Day tornadoes, and possibly even Tennessee or Midland, Michigan. Local opportunities where volunteers can serve for a day are probably going to be the ones that open up first. So who is MDS? We are MDS, our grandparents, our children, and everyone in between. Yes, we are a relatively small group here at Assembly, and we won't fix everything, and we all have really different gifts. But we can pick up where others have left off and prepare the way for more people to continue where we start. Along the way, we will get to know each other in new ways, get pushed outside of our comfort zone, learn new skills, and build new friendships. I have one last quick story. In the fall of 2017, after Hurricane Irma, we were cutting up trees during the early response phase. There was an 80-year-old woman there from Calgary, Alberta, who loved to run the chainsaw, an Amish man from Pennsylvania, a military vet who had no idea what a Mennonite was, and 2 conservative Mennonites from Virginia, and they were all serving together. After supper, they would have these amazing conversations about what service means to them. I don't know much, but I believe that sometimes church is best experienced with a little bar oil or dirt on our brow. What a powerful testimony. We have determined that we have the ability. Now we have to ask ourselves, we see the need, how will we respond?